This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by Mook Delivery, bringing you the food you love. Mook Delivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Derby day disappointment, but in the words of Coldplay, what a start. Everything is not lost. Welcome to the Blue Monday podcast. Watch this for a swerve, Dave. Let's talk about the big picture. Because it could have been worse, couldn't it, Dave?
It could have been, but tell you what, you could have made it worse a few minutes ago when you said Coldplay. I thought you were going to go yellow at first. That would have been, mate. Oh, that would rub salt in the old bloody festering wound, wouldn't it? God.
Yeah, Dave, I was on probably 10 out of 10 for bad mood. It probably did drop to a 7 by 5 o'clock.
Do you know what? I just had to switch. As soon as the last ball was kicked, I just switched off and walked away. Couldn't face Sutton, could not face that, couldn't face any of seeing the celebrations, any, just switch right off. And I went and power washed my patio, mate. I felt far better after that.
Amen. I did the same, and my phone did go on to do not disturb. And fortunately, Craig, I was working last night, so I could switch off. You, my friend, couldn't, because when we say it could be worse, where were you yesterday lunchtime?
Yeah, you could have been there. Hey, well, as my wife very empathetically put this morning, pull yourself together. It's just men running around a pitch.
She's right.
Yeah,
right.
She is, but she's still a pain in the backside. And she was it this morning.
He's
about
his wife live on the internet. Unbelievable!
Oh, that's terrible.
8 o'clock this morning, and wasn't really what I needed to hear. Yeah, it was. Well, we'll go for it. But yeah, that after the final whistle, it just seemed to take an inordinate amount of time. Once the players had come over, and you know they'd received a round of applause and things like that, it seemed to take an inordinate amount of time to get down the stairs, get out the ground, walk round to like towards the station, and the celebrations and the music was still going on by the time we'd done all that walk. You could still hear it from pretty much the road that leads round to the train station. And obviously you had every man and his dog at every junction, you know, wave behind the police cordons, giving us a wave goodbye.
Everyone's a big guy when they've got a row of police in between you and them, aren't they?
Yeah, but there you go. Just got to suck it up, unfortunately.
Were you on a coach? Did you go? I thought you went on a coach. Did you go on a coach?
Yeah, I did, but you'll go the same way. Yeah, you'll get
yeah,
the same way.
I
was treated like royalty. It's quite interesting, actually. You get it's the first time I've been on a coach since, crikey, 1992, believe it or not. Not a coach in general, but a footballer's coach. And so, yeah, it was nice getting like a police escort in and a police escort out. But yeah, the curtain was being drawn on my particular row. So I didn't have to see the outside world until we got on the A140, put it that way.
Amen, amen. So look, we'll get into the game. When you take the emotion out, it actually wasn't the worst possible day. Obviously, it's impossible to take the emotion out of this game, but Ipswich Town started the weekend, the round, in the automatic promotion positions, Dave. And come what may, they did remain in the automatic promotion places, Dave. So the way the day played out was obviously you went to wash your patio. Coventry got themselves 2-0 up against Leeds United. And I have to say, it does look like you have to score, you have to get two in front to beat Leeds, I think, in this run-in. Leicester did nick a late win. Ooh, Southampton dropped points again. But Dave, when you look at the fixtures and the fact that Leicester were playing a team that would ultimately end the day in the bottom three, once we drop points, lost, that's actually quite a good outcome, come what may.
Only grain of comfort, really, you can take from the day, wasn't it, that they got beat. You know, Southampton, who I think are out of automatic anyway, but, you know, they could only pick up a point. And it was looking ridiculously good at about 4:47 or whatever it was. And then, obviously, Mavadidi popped up with the goal. I think it was coming. I think they pretty much dominated.
They were good value in that. Have you seen the Birmingham goal as well?
Yeah, good from Stansfield, sharp. Not Hermanson didn't cover himself in any glory there, did he? But so it was looking ridiculously good. But yeah, look, Leicester, you were expecting them to nick that, and they did. Pirro missed a glorious chance for Leeds, really last kick of the game. All in all, if there was any, like I said, any degree of comfort to take from yesterday, the subsequent results gave us a small amount of that. And I guess all three of us didn't expect us still to be in the top two come 5 o'clock yesterday.
No, it's just weird, Craig, because even when you, I mean, it's been hard for us to see the wood for the trees this week just purely because it was the East Anglian derby, and that tends to derange people, as we've found on social media before and since. But when you actually look at the fixtures, a lot of people had this as perhaps our toughest remaining fixture and Leeds' toughest remaining fixture, and Southampton had an away game as well. I think the shock, Craig, is that, I mean, I don't know if anyone could come up with the stat in the comments, I bet Ipswich and Leeds haven't lost on the same day all season, have they? And certainly three of the top four dropping points on the same day must be extremely rare, Craig.
Yeah, and especially if you think of the timings of the matches as well. If you're a Leeds fan, more than a player, I suppose, having seen us lose at lunchtime and going into the game against Coventry thinking, well, even a draw here puts we're now in the driving seat. And to then subsequently not draw, would have been a right, hopefully, a right kick in the teeth for them. As you said, Ben, you can pretty much write off the Leicester result for what it was going to be. You could see a win there all day long. And you could probably, you know, the pessimists amongst us after our match would have seen a 3 or 4 nil Leeds win for them. So, as you said at the beginning, bigger picture, let's look at the bigger picture, treat yourselves kindly. And we are still in the driving seat.
Craig, I'm aiming to get to around 20, 25 minutes talking about the bigger picture. So I don't have to talk about the bloody game.
Who's down in seventh? Should we go down seventh and eighth and work our way down the table?
I think it's a great idea. Dave, I want to talk to you about Leeds and about Leicester. Leeds first. I want you to tell me how significant it is that the unbeaten run actually ended. Because if they had got that back to 2-2, not just, as you pointed out, they would have been above us, but again, would have been 17 games unbeaten. And I know we could sit here after midweek and have a completely different tune, but we can only react to what we know right now. And I look at that, and before we came back from international break, I looked at Leicester with the goal difference and the 1-point lead and the game in hand. And I thought, okay. And they were behind us at that point. Now there's fewer games to go. They've got the goal difference, they've got the game in hand, and they're ahead. And you look at it, Dave, and you think, okay, can they match Ipswich and Leicester over the next three games, win the game in hand against Southampton, and then they can get promoted against Preston? I know one bad result, Dave, and that theory and that all becomes irrelevant, but Leicester are in the driving seat big style after the weekend now, aren't they? Talk to me about Leicester and Leeds.
I would expect Leicester to get it done now.
But before you do, Dave, say thank you to Gary for $9.99 on the super chat.
Gary's fantastic, mate. Gary. Thanks again for that. Very generous. Yeah, I would expect. I mean, what a day for Leicester yesterday. They couldn't have dreamt that, could they? Absolutely. I mean, as Craig quite rightly said, they'd have expected to turn up and roll Birmingham over, which they did eventually, but they could not have expected the other two. Yeah, still factor Southampton in with, two games in hand or only a game in hand on Leicester. They couldn't have dreamt of that they would all drop points. All the other three of the top four would drop points other than them. So what a day for them. And yeah, looking at their remaining, I would expect them to get it done. I honestly think now, especially with their game in hand, I honestly think now it's between us and Leeds. And I think from a psychological point of view, Leeds' result yesterday can only.
Well, Dave, they've started conceding goals as well. That's
yeah, they have.
You know,
yeah,
that's,
no, absolutely.
That's
two against Watford.
Cling on
yeah,
to,
yeah.
It?
How the prop. Probably should have conceded more against Hull, probably. Psychologically, that's not good. You know, their 17-game run's over, so that's obviously going against them. And I think perhaps, from a psychological point of view, they'd have expected to win at Coventry. Yes, they're not the easiest place to go. Would have probably expected, especially after our result, expected to win at Coventry. And, okay, top two, we're back on with Leicester again. But as Joe said last night, you know, before yesterday, we needed to win six games to go up. Now it's only five.
Greg, your thoughts? Again, we can only react to what we know right now, and we'll get a lot of people kind of reductively go, you can't predict anything. There'll be lots of twists and turns. Well, we can talk about what we know, and I kind of echo what Dave is saying there. But you never know. There could be a freak result at some point and all of a sudden it reorders itself and I'm sitting here not saying Leicester are, you know, in the driving seat, but it really appears that way at the moment, Craig.
Yep. Yeah, you would think so. And mind you, they've got Millwall and Plymouth, I think, they're both away the next two games. So you don't know. They may claw something back, mightn't they? Whereas Leeds, I think, have got perpetual
your
on the beach.
Your favourite team who you love to talk about, Craig.
Just what we need, isn't it? Bloody Sunderland at home. So, yeah, I think they might be cruising to that one. So, yeah, well, as I say, let's as we always seem to say, let's just see where we are this time next Sunday, because we'd all had another couple of games under our belt by then.
Yeah, there you go. Right, we've put it off long enough. Welcome to the Blue Monday podcast, everybody. And 11 minutes on the intro there is pretty good going, but I think you'll all forgive me this week. If you're here in the YouTube chat, remember, your freedom of speech applies as ever on Blue Monday. But if you've watched this podcast, win, lose or draw, we do not gloat. We do not get outraged. We try and keep calm and analyse what's going on. You are welcome to do the opposite of what we do, but it's probably not going to work. So hopefully we can all come together and make the disappointment feel a little bit less rather than screaming into the void, which, understandable as it may be, was happening quite a lot yesterday. Even you see that I've given away that I didn't totally manage to keep off Twitter, did I? But there we go. Let's talk about this blooming football match then. And let's come to you, David, on the teams. And it was Sladky in goal, Davis, Burgess, Wolfenden. A question mark, was it going to be Tuan Zabi or Clark? It was Tuan Zabi. Morsi, was Taylor going to get a go? No. Going to go with the familiar faces. Luongo in there with him. Broadhead, you know, some debate about that, whether it would be maybe Sarmiento possibly or some kind of little tweakery. But Broadhead, Chaplin, Hutchinson and Kiefer Moore does manage to start the game in the end. Dave, if we'd have known that when Craig and I were doing the preview show, we'd have been quite happy with that, wouldn't we?
Yeah, I think. Shout for Clark, perhaps starting yesterday, for hindsight, perhaps starting yesterday at fullback in place of Tuan Zabi. But, you know, other than that, obviously with Burns out, I think that's just about our strongest starting 11, isn't it?
Greg?
Yeah, exactly, as you say. But we pretty much got it, I think, right? As we always say, that if Luongo's anything like fit, then he'll play. If we did say also that if Kiefer Moore is anything like fit, then they'll try and get 70 minutes out of him, which they did. And then Broadhead in for Jackson was probably, if your players are fit, if all those players are fit, that's probably our strongest lineup, isn't it? To start a match on paper, as it transpires, we may have, in hindsight, may have made a couple of different changes, but certainly the strongest lineup you thought we could have put out.
And Craig, we got the Norwich team pretty much bang on as well in the preview, didn't we? Gunn, Stacey, Duffy in for Sorensen, Gibson, McCallum, McLean. We wondered whether he might go back into defence, but we decided against that, and so did David Wagner. Nunez, Sainz and Sara now being deployed outright with Barnes and the main man, Josh Sargent, up top. Don't really want to do this, but Craig, talk to me about the first half, my darling.
Well, you speak to me nicer than my wife did this morning.
What is he doing?
Burying himself. Absolutely burying.
Yeah, and well, funny, we started off okay, actually. The first 10 minutes or so, Duffy shanked a couple of balls out when we put under a little bit of pressure. We were getting the ball out to Hutchinson a little bit, who was getting a little bit of joy down the right-hand side, albeit they were doubling, if not trebling up on him whenever he got the ball. And we were often giving it, as we tend to do, rather than when Wes Burns is playing there, we'll knock it into space for him. When Hutchinson's there, we'll often give it to him to his feet. And I say, as soon as he got the ball, he was pretty much, say, doubled, if not trebled up. What they were doing very effectively, like they did in the home game, Nunez was dropping into defence. The two centre-halves were dropping really, really wide, like on the corners of the 18-yard box, in effect. Nunez was dropping into that space, and he did it two or three times. He would just ping this disguised ball into Sara, who was coming in off that right wing, and we just could not get to grips with it. Sara was getting on that ball 40 yards out away from our goal, say three or four times, and just in that little space, and we just didn't seem to get to grips with it. And we just, after that first 10 minutes, 15 minutes, the game just sort of just got bitty. It didn't, you expect in these games then to get a bit chaotic. You know, I spoke, and Gary kindly gave us our donation. Gary came up and said hello before the game, said hello to Gary, had a good chat with him, had a good chat with Jason from Telegram, good chat with Sean, all said exactly the same thing. What we do not need is this game turning into chaos. You know, like the Man U Liverpool one earlier today, what you do not want is for this to become end-to-end basketball and then it just like loses its shape and you've got no control over it. Well, that didn't really happen, but we still didn't get any control over the game at all, really. And it wasn't as if Norwich were particularly pressing us, but we just seemed to be off. And that was pretty apparent from about, I say, 15 minutes in, really. Moisey Olongo weren't getting to grips with, I say, that the wide players dropping in or Ashley Barnes dropping into that space. They weren't really creating much. We weren't really creating much either of any note. I think we had a header. Burgess had a header from a corner, which went over. Kiefer Moore had a shot on the turn, which went, I think, got deflected or, you know, challenged and went wide. And that was pretty much it for the most of that half.
Dave?
Yeah, I obviously concur with that. I thought we didn't look at any problem, though. We were keeping the ball reasonably well for quite long periods up until the seemingly we started to give away those free kicks various distances away from our goal. Probably the most crucial one was perhaps the most furthest away, probably. Sara's was quite a way out as well, though, wasn't it? And that just seemed to unsettle us, I think. Did that begin with the Twanzabe challenge on Sargent? I can't remember, which that was an odd one where the ref didn't appear to give it. And we felt, what a brilliant challenge. And they actually said on Sky, what an absolute superb challenge, because it looked like Sargent was away there. But then the Lions, apparently, after consultation with the Lino, he gives it and nothing comes of it. But that just seemed to set us back a bit and gave them control after that. And then obviously the worst happens on, what, 39 minutes, is it?
Yeah, because it was like the final free kick, shall we say. It was like the last one of about three or four free kicks that we gave away in very, very similar areas of the pitch. There was Morsey fouled McLean, and then you say the Twanzabe one, which wasn't a foul. You know, you could even see from where we were, you look in that angle directly towards that far corner flag, and you can see Twanzabe cut across.
Nicks the ball.
The ball goes in the direction that Twanzabe's running and therefore directing it. It's just not, it doesn't even look like a foul, even from where we were, let alone, anyway, where the referee was. And then it's a strange one that he gave the yellow on the back of it, because if he's the last man and it's a goal-scoring opportunity, which he's denied, you would think, looking back at Leif Davis against Southampton 4 days previous, does that then indicate that the referee maybe wasn't entirely sure that it was a foul and was therefore, you know, covering himself? If that's in the Premier League, he gives a red, everything's then rescinded once it gets back and looked at, isn't it, basically? Because he will give the red and then it'll get looked at, reviewed, and it'll get taken off. But I say that seemed to get the crowd going because the injustice of him not getting a red.
Yeah.
And to be fair to Norwich, it was a decent atmosphere in there yesterday from their perspective. But then shortly after that, Burgess fouls Sargent again from a header, a little bit of a grapple from a throw in on a header. Morsey then fouls Sargent, which leads to the free kick, as you said, Dave, 30 yards out. And then it's a bit of a shambles from then on.
I mean, again, that was a bit of a tangle, wasn't it, Morsey and Sargent? But then what you do see, again, a bit like the Broadhead at Blackburn, the tug on the shirt, what you do see, he's got hold of his shorts, hasn't he, sort of thing, right in front of the ref. So I think the ref just, you know, gives it for that. Because I think, other than that, that's pretty much six of one half dozen of the other. But as he's sort of coming away from the challenge, he's clearly got hold of him. And you kind of knew, didn't you? You thought, well, they're going to get one right in a minute, aren't they? The others, one or two, like Sara's, was a bit far out and he just tried to hit it as hard as he could. Nunes had a pretty good one, the low one before that, which was, he went low, didn't he? He was trying to get it around the wall, deflected wide. And he just thought, and I don't know about you, Ben, and watch it on TV as well, Ben, but you look at the setup of the wall and you think, two there. All right, it's a long way out.
Dave, it wasn't necessarily just the wall. It was the proximity of the other players to the wall. It's almost like you may as well remove the wall if you're going to have random players kind of connected to it.
It was kind of an odd setup. You know, you think...
Dave, sorry to interrupt. You always talk about players using a defender to put their shot around.
Yeah.
And it was begging for that, wasn't it? Sorry,
carry on. And look, it was a good hit, wasn't it? It was a good hit, and it's an all good one. He should save it, shouldn't he? He should save it. And it's perhaps like one of those goals. Jack Clark was one at Portman Road, and there was maybe one or two others, I think, where he seems to have a little bit of weight. Again, he's a bit late, isn't he? He seems to have a little bit of weight on his right side, and by the time he's down there, look, it's a good strike. It's so hard. It's dipping, it's swerving. It bounces perfectly for Nunes right in front of the keeper, but... Yeah, he gets two hands to it and he'll be disappointed. Yeah, I was in off the post and in, isn't it? He'll be disappointed. But it was a well struck, awkward, sort of awkward free kick, wasn't it?
Greg.
Yeah, I think he's at fault, isn't he, from both the wall and from the save, isn't he, at the end of the day? And it wasn't entirely clear from where we were. It took such a long time as well for the wall to be set, for the free kick to be taken, and you thought, well, I was trying to work it out with the lines across the pitch, the mode lines across the pitch to see how far it was out. And I think, well, that's about, I could see like two strips. I thought, well, 30 yards. He's only got two in the wall. And you look at it on the replays from behind from the other end of the pitch, looking straight at the goal. And basically, Halecki's got he can see it all the way. Chaplin sort of jumps out as if to make it a third man in the wall, but even then, it doesn't seem to be enough, and I don't even think it's that great a straight. Sort of knuckle balls it, doesn't it? Sort of outside of the foot.
It's got to be the swerve and the bounce, doesn't it?
It is. It's the swerve.
Yeah, but he sees it all. He does see it all the way, doesn't he? And it's not as if he. It's such a long way out, and to see it all the way, you're better off just not having a wall there at all. If you're going with two men, then what's the purpose of two men? You know, my boy is a goalkeeper. When he does his coaching and stuff, they tell the goalkeepers that if you've got X amount of people in the wall, the second one in, you line up with your post, basically, to stop it being bent round the near side, if you like. So it wasn't really serving any purpose. The sort of wall you have when the ball's out wide for a cross, isn't it? You often see two men in a wall. How often have you seen two men in a wall from a shot down the middle of the pitch from a free kick?
It was an odd one.
Chris Waddle, FA Cup semi-final. We talked about that the other day, weren't we? Sheffield Wednesday against Sheffield United. I mean, there might have even been one man in a wall.
Paul Gascoigne against Arsenal.
Yeah,
that's another 10 wall for Gaz's one. Yeah,
and that was another 10 yards further up the pitch.
That's it was. Yeah, no, it was. Yeah, I think you're right. He'll throw something. Walton saves that.
Oh, Dave! Oh my God.
I just thought I'd throw that little grenade in for you. Sorry, guys, didn't mean.
He just throws his cap on that. He doesn't even save it.
Last season, just sort of shuffles to one side and literally.
Why are you doing this to me?
Look, Lackey's been superb, and look, you know, yeah, big moment for him yesterday. But other than that, he really didn't have too much to do, did he? Really. They're trying to put corners on him, and he always seemed to get something on them. Not too much issue, but yeah.
Yeah. Save-wise, he didn't really have much to do for the rest of the match, really. But he wasn't as confident and competent with his feet yesterday. He was given a couple of absolute shockers to deal with. But even then, even when he wasn't, you know, didn't seem quite as confident.
That went right through the side, though, didn't it, Cray?
Yeah.
You could say that.
And guys, they managed to make from 2-2 at Portman Road. We mentioned this, Craig, in the preview show. Really low margin. And when you're getting a low margin game, a goal, any type of goal, set play, own goal, whatever, that is, you know, just massive. I was hearing somebody talking about the, I can't remember the podcast I was listening to, about the first goal mattering less this season because we've had record numbers of goals and obviously we've come from behind a million times, but in this particular game it was going to be massive and easy for me to say with hindsight. Yeah, crucial, exactly.
Especially with, as you say, low margin game, it was a low quality game. It wasn't as if there were, you know, chances flying in at either end. And as we spoke about, and you were pre-eloquent about pre-match, Ben, German managers, pragmatic German managers, would he play that way at home?
Football, don't they?
Yeah, once they go ahead.
And once they went ahead, I mean, look, not really that much to say about the second half, really. Was it a load of substitutions? But once they went ahead, they seemed to almost adopt a bit of a 4-4-2 behind the ball with Barnes and perhaps Barnes playing slightly more deep than Sargent.
But again, Dave, that worked. I remember that home game drifting away, thinking, come on, this is ours to go for. And, you know, I got a bit of grief for saying it because we missed all the chances in the first half, Dave. But, you know, you're not sitting there thinking, oh, my God, we really should have gotten the score.
In deference to Wagner, I think you're right. They set up really well. And, you know, their flair players, Signs, that's actually second half, so, you know, Borges, Signs, Sarah, you know, really knuckled down, tucked in, did the dirty yards, dirty stuff, you know. And really, second half, you really didn't see much of them at all, did you? But they just kept us easily at arm's length till perhaps, I would say, perhaps a three-quarter fit Kiefer Moore went off and Ali Alhamidi came on.
Greg?
Yeah, It was, as you said, what you wanted when the second half started, you just needed a bit of spark. You know, let's actually get out. But we started off really, really
passive,
slack. Well. Yeah, Twenzaby just knocked the ball straight out of play in front of us. He was meant to pass to Hutchinson and just knocked it straight out of play. Yeah. He had a poor game yesterday, Twenzaby. We're saying about the balls that Hlaki was getting. Morsey, as the game went on, he got better and was sort of driving us up the pitch for that last 20 minutes or so. He was sort of getting back to his normal self. But before that, even when he was like laying balls back to Wolfenden, he stitched Wolfenden up a bit. He stitched that Hlaki one that was, you know, a hip high pass back for your goalkeeper with someone charging down on him. And then, yeah, we can go through all the players, couldn't we, really?
We have to.
No, we don't. But
do you know, one I would single out, and it's not, I'd say single out, it seems harsh, but And they said, and there has been a lot of comment on the Telegram group since yesterday was a game we missed Burns, didn't we? Oh, did we miss Burns yesterday in that game? You know, just his direct run. And I think that ball over McCallum was there on every time. And Hutchison, I wanted to speak about, was just not himself, was he? But again, he was a bit, I'd say, use the word passive. He just didn't want to be fair, very rarely did we receive the ball you know, in front of him when he was making forward movement. Usually when he received the ball, he was static, So, yeah, yeah. he wasn't almost one thing and the other, but he just wasn't, what's the word I'm looking of, positive enough. Did you think, and that, look, that could go right through the team. I just think that he was an example, just not positive enough, whether the, he's a kid, isn't he, 21, whatever he is, whether the, you know, the occasion got to him a little bit, but, you know, it seemingly, there would seem to be space there. And, you know, I think, honestly, seeing how he played Sheffield Wednesday, for example, he was outstanding. I know he's playing this slightly different position, but he just didn't seem that. He had a couple of bad touches first half, and that seemed to do, it did for him, really. He just didn't seem that confident, did he?
No, I just think they just played him well. I thought they doubled up on him. And every time he got the ball, as you said, Dave, he was stood still when he got the ball. But you did right say that there were times when he could have got the ball in sooner and didn't. But then the other side, Davis was on fumes from pretty much the word go. You know, he was complaining about stuff. He did get kicked, but then he went over to the sidelines to get a bit of treatment in the first half. But after that, he barely, you know, we know what Davis is like normally, belting up the wing, you know, up into the 95th, 96th minute, he's still sprinting up and down. Yesterday, he wasn't doing that at all in the second half. You know, there was no, and even his deliveries from set pieces were poor, corners, free kicks, they were all poor as well.
There was one ball where the classic second half, wasn't it, the classic Davis
pullback,
Chaplin, which nearly came off. That was our best chance. A good effort. It weren't that far. You know, you've seen Chaplin bury them in the top corner. Just quickly, do you think yesterday perhaps was perhaps at some point, and he didn't figure, an opportunity, a game that perhaps would have suited Jackson and pace?
In hindsight, very possibly.
But I mean, I know it's such a drop-off from Burns. The quality's, there is a big drop-off. But just for that pace, just getting in behind them, which until Al-Hamidi did, what, the last 10, maybe 15, a couple of times, we just never did we?
No, that's right. And you know what Shane Duffy's going to give you, don't you? And we spoke about it, Ben, on pre-match. If you want, if anything, he'd probably fancy a tussle against Kiefer more than he'd fancy a foot race against Caden Jackson, wouldn't he? Mm. But then it's a brave call to put Jackson in above either Hutchison on the wing or Kiefer Moore in the middle.
Yeah, very much. Yeah.
Can I wrap it up there, guys? I'm trying to be professional here, but, you know, as you said, Dave, when you went into the second half, just not a lot to talk about. We'll give Norwich their flowers. We'll behave with humility, as we always try and do on this podcast. Again, I reiterate, if it wasn't Norwich and we didn't have all the emotion tied up, when you look at it, if I just bring the table up and you look at our struggles, let's be very plain about it. Please don't get triggered by us telling the truth in the chat. That's on you, not on us. If you're not ready to be here emotionally, then take a break and listen to us after the fact. But we haven't beaten Leicester, Craig. We lost twice to Leeds, beat Southampton twice. Haven't beaten West Brom and haven't beaten Norwich. So it's not out of the realms of possibility that, take the fact it's Norwich, Craig, out of it, not beating sixth place away is not the most earth-shattering thing to happen and may not be a decisive thing to happen, Craig.
No, and it's similar to the West Brom away performance and result, in that, if you've got Premier League players set up in a certain way and they take the lead, you're going to have to be playing bloody well with a team.
And Craig, as well, sorry to interrupt, you mentioned it, size and power as well. That was a big thing in the West Brom game, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. But then a team that is still predominantly made up of players who've played a lot of their football in League One, once a team sets back and sits in the block, it's going to need skill, quality to break them, something out of the ordinary to break them down, because we're not going to be able to catch them on the break. We're not going to have Leif Davis sprinting into 30 yards of space to get across, and we're not going to have Amari Hutchinson doing the same and dribbling around one player then having no one else in front of him in the box. It's going to take something special, but unfortunately we just did not have that spark yesterday. No, there was no pace, there was no intensity. And whether that's down to us and us just being tired because we're playing, having to play the same batch of players week in, week out, whether that's down to the way Norwich managed the game and just took the sting out of it, or Dave might wager possibly a little bit of both. I'm just a bit concerned that we've sort of
He's
gone
after everyone today, Dave, isn't he?
That was
affectionate, was it?
That was affectionate. And I was just read, I can't drop that in now. I was just about to comment there.
But it's just Sorry, just quick one quick thing. We've sort of gone from Luongo's perspective, Chaplin's perspective, Broadhead's perspective. We've gone from replacing players because they're knackered to replacing them because they're not playing particularly well. I think that's to my eyes. You know, before we were all out 60, 65 minutes, run your nuts off, you're knackered, get off. Here come another four, we're going again. And we're sort of having now have to make substitutions because players aren't particularly playing well rather than them having run their race, if you see what I mean.
Dave, final word. Final word on.
Do you know what? I felt worse. We're not talking about
until the next time. Yeah?
No. I felt bad. Everyone felt bad yesterday because let's face it, we didn't turn up. And ultimately, looking at the game overall, they did a number on us. They really did. They did a number on us. We didn't turn up. They did a number on us. I'd have felt worse, I think, had we played really well.
In the first half, I thought we played really well. Yeah.
No, true. First game we did. And we should have been out of sight. First game, first half. Should have been out of sight. If we'd have played really well and got beat yesterday, I think I'd be sitting there feeling worse. I feel that, if it is the playoffs and we come against them in the playoffs, we can't be as bad again.
No.
We can't. So, again, that gives me perhaps a small straw, a very small straw to clutch at. But I think it does a bit. But, look, you know, overall yesterday, we hate it. You know, we don't like it. But you've got to say that the better team won on the day. And all this rubbish, oh, they were up for it, we weren't. I'm sorry, that's rubbish. You know, of course we were up for it, but I think McKenna makes a good point in his sort of post-match when he said, you know, maybe there was a little bit of a, I mean, I know crazy because we won the game, but a spin-off of, you know, motion from the Southampton game must have sucked out a lot from the players. But yeah, look, move on. And fortunately, the post-match results yesterday afternoon largely went in our favour. So as you said, quite rightly, Ben, at the top of the show, we are still in the automatic promotion and it is still in our hands.
We're still fighting for this title and they've still got to go to Middlesbrough.
I love it. But to put some of that fight, no, slightly different. Did you see, just change the subject, just before we came on here, Joe Kinnear passed.
Oh, say a few words, please, Dave.
Sorry?
Say a few words, please.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Kinnear, Wimbledon, character, I would say. Proper character, obviously Wimbledon, Newcastle for a short spell, I believe as well. But again, you know, one of those great characters and a very good player for Spurs in his own right back in the day. So sad news. Just I think it just broke on BBC. I saw it just this evening.
Right. We'll park that now. We'll look at a few more bits and bobs as it pertains to the table, then we'll go into your questions. We are going to be doing a bonus show previewing the Watford game, which will come out tomorrow night. So we won't take any questions about Watford per se, but feel free to get your questions ready, but I might ask you to copy and paste them. But anyway, let me erase. And here's a word from our sponsors at Innovation Labs.
Innovation Labs, providing co-working and innovation hubs across East Anglia. We're the perfect place for remote workers, freelancers, startups or innovators to do business. Our unique member network creates extensive business development and collaboration opportunities. Hot desks are available from £20 a day or £99 per month, with business coaching also available from £50. Innovation Labs, turning your ideas into multi-million pound businesses. Located in Stowmarket, Ipswich, Sudbury, with new sites in Thetford, Norwich and Kuala Lumpur. Openings.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Whether you need a VPN to protect you while online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across 6 different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
So, the schedule this week, as I was just alluding to, we'll definitely have the Watford preview podcast out tomorrow. We're not entirely sure, and that's down to me, where I'm going to be on Wednesday, whether I'm going to be at the game or I'm going to be here. If I'm here, there may be some kind of watch along or post game. But what we do know is our two reprobates, Richard and Seb, will be back for their normal preview slot on Thursday, in which instance we would be able to cover the Watford game a little bit then. Let me ask you a question, guys, just based on the schedule, because I think our man, Chris, who's across the stats in the Telegram group, pointed out a few weeks ago, Craig, that we now go into a situation where by the time Leeds United finish on the 26th against QPR, that's now been moved forward to Friday, Leeds will have played 4 times. And because of Coventry's appearance in the FA Cup semi-final and our game being postponed and then that going in between where round 45 and 46 would be, we only play twice, which gives Leeds a chance to, even though there would be games in hand, gives Leeds a chance, Craig, to pad the points total and really pile the pressure on going into that 3-game week of Hull, Coventry, Huddersfield, which just sent a shiver down my spine, going into the final day of the season or final week of the season. What's your takes on how the schedule might play into this potential second and third place race between Ipswich and Leeds?
I'm interested to know. And it's just a shame they've got Sunderland this midweek. If it had been anybody else in this division,
anyone, Rotherham,
anyone else,
Rotherham with freedom now, Dave.
Yeah, on the beach in Rotherham. It'd be interesting to see how they were sitting come Sunday next week. Look, we can't do anything more than, you know, we now know what we've got to do, don't we? We've, as you said earlier, Ben, we've got through our, on paper, our most difficult game, although Coventry might have something to say about that towards the end of April. Let's get these two home games out of the way, because we've then got the break, haven't we, basically? And we can use that one of two ways. We came back at Blackburn after a break and weren't particularly great. To my eyes, unfortunately for us, it just looks like we're running a little bit on fumes at the moment. And I know we will talk about it in the Watford pre-match. I wouldn't be surprised if there's just a bit more energy and spark stuck in, dotted around the team. And whether that carries on to the end of the season, I don't know. But yeah, we've just got to hope that Leeds, I say, just again, that the fact that Leeds knew what they had to do to get into the top two yesterday and didn't, I just hope that has knocked them a little bit.
The incestuousness of all of this isn't lost on me as well, Dave, because you can almost now link Coventry and Norwich and Hull all together. So you do have a situation whereby Coventry could be still challenging Norwich at the point we try and play them. And there's the potential for us to put Norwich out of sixth place or us down into third place, or it all gets very confusing with who needs what and what needs who when you get down to Ipswich Coventry, potentially in round 45 if it's still this tight, though.
Yeah, no, you're right. And also looking, I didn't quite realise how Middlesbrough suddenly snuck in there. In recent, obviously, yeah, well, look, you know, you can see the results, but in recent weeks, you know, they're certainly, well, sitting there 61 points, all right, played 41 games, game more than Coventry, but they're certainly not out of it either, are they? And they're coming up, obviously next Saturday. But, you know, your question with regard to, yeah, I mean, you'd much rather, you know, if Leeds, you know, if Leeds, those two games, so we're playing two, they're playing four, geez, if Leeds win those four games, yeah, with that
and then Dave, well, Southampton also become a factor, because if Southampton are out of it and prepping for the playoffs, they roll over against Leicester and Leeds.
Oh, mate, look, yeah, I yeah,
it'll get silly, doesn't
this
it?
At this stage, you know, it's better to have played the games and if you can get the points on the board, as we know. Look at Southampton now, you know, look, you know, where they've Sunday, they got their, you know, they're okay, they've got two games in hand, but they're effectively out of it now. Heaven forbid that happens to us and Leeds win those four games and we're chasing, going in that final week, having a win at Hull and Coventry. All right, similar. We did it at what? How did it go last year? Did it go Peterborough, Barnsley? Slightly different step up. But yeah, that's such a tough ask.
Don't all yell at me at once, Craig. I can see Hull maybe being on the beach, but I can see Coventry still having, they might have a little bit of distance, but I can still see them having something to play for at that point.
Yeah, I don't know, because they would have played their semi-final, wouldn't they, before then? So whether that also amounts to anything if they end up managing winning that and having an FA Cup final to look forward to on the horizon.
We've rearranged the playoff final potentially if that happens.
Have they got Man United? Is that they're playing? Yeah.
Yeah, so literally you could have any result in that game.
No, mate, honestly.
Watch Manchester United. Right, we'll go to your questions. If you've put them in already. Feel free to copy and paste them. Let me just finish up the housekeeping with the league table. So West Brom dropping points, which meant, you can see there, Hull, Middlesbrough, Coventry and Norwich all winning. So the points went into the playoff chase this midweek. And our good friends, we've had many battles with them. Hopefully, we're in a bit of a different echelon now, but I've always admired how Rotherham run, given commercials and people get uncomfortable with the word, but size. So commiserations, Rotherham back to League One. And they are also confirmed that they will be finishing bottom of the table with that defeat at home to Plymouth. And then, my God, and this is where Craig's point about Plymouth and Millwall playing Leicester may be of some relevance, because look, Wednesday 42, Birmingham in the bottom three, 42. Huddersfield, please either be safe or done by round 46, for God's sake, Huddersfield. 43, Millwall, 44. Did they peak too early? Plymouth, 44. Brilliant win at Rotherham, but they are not out of it. Stoke and QPR and Blackburn, even though they've all had decent results, still probably need to win another of their last five games to get out of it, Dave.
What a result. What a result for Sheffield Wednesday at QPR yesterday. I did not see that, did you?
Well, yes, I did, which is why I forecast it on the
prediction.
I think I did. I did go the other way around. Did I, Craig? Can't remember.
I don't think any of us predicted that. None of the three of us.
I thought it at one point, which is the same. As me,
yeah, that's so you know, you know what Ben's like with Sheffield Wednesday and away.
Have a point,
you know
that. Yeah. Have a point,
I'm forgetting
mate.
What he's predicted, yeah,
just have a point. If you thought it, Ben, just take a point.
And the Huddersfield Millwall, huge result, yeah. No, that is really, really tight down there. My god,
yeah, Sunderland are just fortunate they got to 52 points by January, I think.
No chance that Jack Clark's fit again, is he? Do we know?
Get him on the
straw. Where's that clutching a straw again?
Get him on
where
the
is
pitch
it?
In crutches or whatever. We hope Jack Clark is okay. He's a brilliant player. Yeah, right, yeah. Let's find some questions. Let me just take this one from our mate Mullet. Should Leicester have a points deduction now? How many points? You just got to move on from this now. In my opinion, they should, but it's not going to happen. And that's the Premier League and the EFL not knowing their arse from their elbow when it comes to actually talking to each other. So there you go. Craig, Neil Johnson, inability to manage 12:30 kickoffs. Is that a thing?
Well, it appears to be, actually, is we were chatting about it again in the Telegram group in the got it written down here. Five league games with 12:30 kickoffs. Haven't won any of them. And the performances in them haven't been great. So they've been Norwich at home, Norwich away, 2-2 and 1-0. Leeds away. Oof. We don't need to go over that. West Brom at home, which was Hutchison last minute equaliser, wasn't it? Yeah, yeah. And then Cardiff away, which was two last minute kicks or heads or whatever they were. So yeah, we haven't won any of them. We've drawn two and lost three. So yeah, that is a trend, isn't it? Can we call that a trend?
Mm. Yeah, if you want. Yeah.
That's odd. That is odd. Oh, we did. Ooh.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. If you're listening on audio, yeah. So Jack Clark is playing, and it made absolutely no difference whatsoever to Sunderland's. What did they do?
Well, they scraped the point. Nil-nil,
didn't they?
Nil-nil.
Yeah. I tell you what, you'll bloody take that away at Leeds, won't you?
He's playing in defence, was he?
right. Questions. Nick, Dave, three poor away performances on the bounce. Mm. It's another trend that I don't particularly like. Cardiff, Blackburn, and now Norwich. Should we be worried that we are running out of gas at the business end?
Yeah, I think that is a factor. And Craig alluded to it a little while ago, didn't he? A few minutes ago, that, yeah, we did look as though perhaps yesterday at times we were running on fumes. And, I mean, this will be where the squad is so, so important. Just think of the subs yesterday, actually. And I mean, we're done with yesterday, but just think about the subs yesterday. I thought Sarmiento, Craig, would you agree, looked pretty lively? I thought Sarmiento looked okay. Taylor didn't really. I'm not sure. Harness just didn't figure at all. I think.
I think if Harness touched the ball three times, he fouled people about eight times.
Harness, I thought, was poor. Taylor didn't affect it much.
No.
But I thought Sarmiento looked proper lively, so I think he'll be a key factor, I'd have thought, in the running. Ansel Taylor, I think, but to answer Nick's question, yeah, that is a concern for me. I think, yeah, we did look, so what's the trendy word, leggy, didn't we, a bit? And coming to the crux of the season now, yeah, we need bigger performances out, because if we turn up and play against Hull and Coventry like that, we'll get nothing.
Well, you also need the ability to win a bloody low margin game where if we'd have beaten Cardiff, that would have been the classic example of not quite that great, and you just get through.
Well, we did. To be fair, we did do that. At Blackburn, didn't we? We won a low margin game, and we were poor. You think we were poor for 45 minutes? Second 45 minutes at Blackburn, we were poor for an hour against Southampton, and we were poor for 85 plus minutes at Norwich. So it's not, again, talking about trends, we'd like that trend to sort of maybe
very quickly.
Yeah, right. JB, how many points do you think we can pick up in the remaining five? Personally, I think we'll struggle at Coventry and Hull. Whose question is Craig, isn't it? And we've done this a million times. I'm sure you're all doing this. It's essentially, because of the 2-week break, all out, two home games, Watford and Middlesbrough. Watford are a year two parachute team. Middlesbrough in the playoff semi-final. So they could play it last season. They're good players in those squads. But I don't want to turn into the people I was criticising earlier. I'll just look forward to the next game. But you really can rule under these two games. And God, Craig, if you're scoring one or two points in these two games, it could start to feel very elementary given Leeds' schedule, right?
Yeah, exactly. You've got to win these two home games, haven't you, in a week, just to set yourself up for the remaining three. I say, especially after, let's talk about Sunderland again. Sunderland Leeds on Tuesday night. We'll know come Wednesday how they've got on. So yeah, I don't think realistically, if you're looking at top two, you've got to be winning your three home games, I would have thought, out of those five, and then see what the hell you can get from Hull away and Coventry away.
I think you're right, Craig. I think we need to win the three home games and need to win one of those away games.
Do you know what that? Do you remember in the promotion running under Burley where we went to, was it West Brom, and was it the one where Matt Holland kind of slipped to equalise 1-1? And it was just everything about that game was just heavy and hard and intense. That's how that Coventry game's making me feel, Dave. Do you know what I mean? Just the pressure.
Well, I'll tell you what, you talk about that Coventry game. If we can win these two home games and beat Hull, man, that would be really interesting to see how it looks. The top two, say three, the top three looks like then. If we can win those two home games, beat Hull going into that Coventry game.
And also, you don't know how Norwich would have done between now and then. If Norwich had pulled away a little bit, there might not be anything riding on it for Coventry by then.
No, true.
It might be done and dusted almost.
You almost just want to get to that point with the three game week at the end. And I'm sure we'd all take it where, if it was 9 points, promotion was guaranteed in the three game. Do you know what I mean? That would be something I think everybody would take. And I know Joe tweeted it, and it's kind of tongue-in-cheek, isn't it? Oh, we had to win 6 games to get promoted. We now have to win 5. Mm-hmm. Obviously, maybe that's with a bit more information that we didn't have when we were playing the 6th game. But it's kind of an objective fact, isn't it, Dave?
No, very much. It is fact. You know, win the next 5 games, we're promoted. Simple as. You can't pull that apart. That's
simple
that
equation,
Simple execution. Simple execution. Blimey. Yeah. I think these two, personally, I think these two home games that are coming up are going to be tough. Watford are really not got a lot to play for, haven't they? Yeah, obviously they've got Cleverly. Well, no, sorry, we'll get onto this in a minute, but Cleverly in, and he seems to have made them difficult to beat anyway. And as I said, Middlesbrough, so I just looked at the table earlier, hang on, Middlesbrough, 61 points. How's that happened? Where they come from, sort of thing. So they're obviously in a good, obviously Latty Latt's in very, very good goal scoring form. So yeah, these won't be easy. But we've said that before, you know, come off the back of defeats, and we've looked at, I think we looked at those games after, I can remember going far back, as a West Brom game, really disappointing display against West Brom away, and you're looking at the home games coming up. I think one of those was Millwall, I think. And we said, oh, you know, really need to bounce back and win these two home games. And we did comfortably and played really well. So look, we've done it before, but as you said, look, a big, big week coming up with these two home games.
It's the most crucial week of the season, to my eyes. When you look at,
no, without doubt,
it's last week and the week before. Great.
No, but this is.
But it is. I'm just looking at Leeds. Leeds have got Sunderland and Blackburn at home.
Oosh.
This week. So
no.
Let's work on the assumption. Happened? Work on the assumption they might get 6 points, and if we don't, then and they're playing again before we're playing again. Twice. Then
they could be up. They could well be up.
That is doable, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. There we go. Craig, will Morsi avoid a ban? What's the totaliser on Morsi? Is it still 13?
13, I think, isn't it? Yeah. Well, that was a strange one at the weekend. Because it looked, for all money, that was a red card in front of us, charging through with Sargent. But then you look at it on the replay. Yeah. What the hell? Sargent just slings his right leg across him, doesn't it? It's really, really weird. Odd.
Great spot. I've got to say, great spot from the ref, to be fair.
Yeah, because we were looking at each other thinking, Jesus, how the hell is
shades of same end as well, shades of Christoph Berra. You know, you see him sort of trooping off. You think, oh, Christ, here we go. Yeah.
So, 13, but we don't know if it is or it isn't affecting. The interesting one is the fasting, because that wasn't particularly cold on Saturday, and it's 12:30 kickoff. So, you know, it's in the middle of the fasting day, if you like, isn't it? It's not as if they can drink loads of water, eat loads of food, and then go out and play football. There's a element of time lapse between the two. So, yeah, slap bang in the middle of the day, I wouldn't think it's an ideal time for a football match. You want to be running around in the centre midfield, but, you know, he's managed it pretty well. Up to now, and I think that's it now, isn't it? I think it ends Tuesday, so
Eid starts, I think, on Tuesday, which is the next. Yeah, I think that's when Ramadan ends, I believe.
Yeah,
there we go. We tried our best, guys. Lots of people, kind of old man yelling at cloud in the comments. Lots of people asking us to just be positive. We can't do that, guys. We've just got to tell the truth. We've got to talk about what we've seen and how we feel. Sometimes I feel, as I've said on the podcast, the over positivity is even more reductive than the over negativity. Both of it's bollocks, frankly. Just tell the truth on what you've seen. That's what we've tried to do here. That's our job. And we hope we've managed to do it. Craig, final word from you.
As I say, it's the most crucial week of the season now, everyone. So, yep, let's go. Get to Portman Road. Cheer them on. No moaning.
Dave, final word from you, fella.
Pivotal week, Ben. Pivotal.
Pivotal. Pivotal. Pivot! We are going to be back tomorrow night with a little bit about Watford. That's why we've avoided questions on that. We thank you guys for joining us tonight. Sorry for my... well, let's just be honest about it. I'm in a bad mood. I'm in a grump, aren't I? Didn't like what happened this weekend. Dave, sorry.
Can I just thank my man just behind me, my good friend John, my very good friend, sent me this on, I don't know if you can see it very much, gave me this on Friday, which is a framed picture of Kevin Beattie, which signed with an England badge and his first, a ticket from his very first England debut. Was his very first. His England debut against Cyprus in 1975. So absolutely love that, John. Really appreciate that, mate. Thanks a lot.
What a lovely wholesome moment to finish on. We will see you tomorrow night. We will get the Watford preview out. There'll be some coverage of Watford, but Richardson said we'll definitely be here on Thursday night. And as I said at the top of the show, everything is not lost. Thank you for watching the Blue Monday podcast.
It's the promotion running. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nuggets and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.